If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Case, dude, welcome back.
It's nice to be back in Colorado.
I think we all missed you. I missed you.
Yeah.
You were away for a little while. You got married.
I did. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Congratulations, so, dude.
Good reason to be away from work.
Yes.
Took a little bit of time around the wedding, and now we're back to talk about trucks.
So now I'm going to throw you into the deep, deep end right now, because there's been so many rumors swirling around about upcoming new pickup truck engines and just truck engines in general that I really wanted to kind of discuss this on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast, and also see what some of our listeners and viewers are thinking about this.
Yeah.
Because I've been talking about the 8.3-liter Duramax, the 8.0-liter Power Stroke, the 7.2-liter Cummins that are coming into the pickup trucks, but a lot of people are saying that this is a hoax.
Yeah, and obviously
just fake news.
We don't have any firm confirmation from any of the manufacturers. If you ever try to ask them about what they're going to do on a future truck, there's a programmed response.
We do not comment on future product.
Yep. Every single time, every single brand, without fail. So obviously, they're not going to confirm these things, but you hear some rumors. Sometimes we'll get emails from people that work at some of these brands or at companies adjacent to some of these brands that maybe have more indication than the general public what could be coming down the pipeline. Every now and then things get leaked. So there are some theories, but they're definitely not set in stone.
But I would also kind of rephrase the first question I asked, that is it a hoax, right? I would rephrase it slightly differently to say, what is a perfect pickup truck engine?
Yeah, because we could definitely discuss what we would like to see for the future of these trucks.
Yeah. And also, you and I just did an iGauntlet yesterday, which hasn't been published yet. So we were talking about kind of the future of engines, and some of them are being downsized, you know, in a lot of the pickup trucks. And then for heavy duties, they might be upsized.
Yeah, which maybe sounds a little strange, because like we've all seen, a lot of V8 full-size trucks have gone down to turbo V6s. A lot of V6 mid-size trucks have gone down to turbo four-cylinders. So it seems against the trend for HD trucks and diesels to go from being 6.6 and 6.7 liters to over 7 or 8 liters.
Exactly.
But it makes a lot of sense if you think about the engineering behind it.
Yeah. But first, how about that Corvette Grand Sport?
Yeah, so sounds a little weird to bring up, because this is
2027 Corvette Grand Sport.
Obviously, this is a truck podcast.
Yes.
So we don't usually talk about Corvettes, except when Corvettes are debuting engines.
Brand new engines.
Going to be making their way into trucks and SUVs.
Potentially, yes. Because historically speaking, if you look at like the 6.2 liter, right, V8 engine that's been in a Corvette for a very long time, it kind of has some relationship to the 6.2 in the Silverado 1500 and also the Sierra 1500 trucks. But we know a little bit more, actually quite a bit more, but maybe not everything about the new 6.7 liter gas V8 in the new Corvette.
Yeah, we have basically all of the specs on this engine as it exists in the Corvette. We don't know what differences there are going to be between the engine and the Corvette and the version of it that will eventually make its way into trucks and SUVs, because we do know very well, confirmed by General Motors, that they've made a massive investment in the next generation of small block V8s.
Yes.
That's confirmed. So these engines are definitely going to make their way into trucks and SUVs. It's debuting with Chevrolet's flagship vehicle, which is the Corvette. That makes a lot of sense. Like you said, that's what they've done in the past. The LS, original LS1, debuted in 1997 in a C5 Corvette. And eventually, all the engines on that platform made their way into trucks and SUVs. So this is the first Gen 6 small block that we're seeing in anything. And some things about this engine that we know for sure is that they've maintained a lot of what's made these engines basically what they are since the very beginning. So since 1955, all of these small block Chevys have been cam and block, and they've been... they've had the same bore spacing, about 112 millimeters is 4.4 inches between the center of each cylinder. So different bore diameters in different displacement engines, but the same bore spacing.
But that's kind of what defines the small block, right?
Yeah.
Chevrolet small block engine.
Not that there aren't some exceptions, like the original LT5 that was in the ZR1, like what we have is a dual overhead cam engine, right? There's been some outliers over time, but... In general, what defines the small block Chevy is that bore spacing and being cam and block. And this new engine is the same way, which is pretty cool. So they're sticking to the general formula, but here in Corvette form, it's going to be a little hopped up. So this should be, as far as we're able to tell, because I haven't seen them say it explicitly in the press release, but the LT2 that this new Gen 6 LS is replacing... In the Corvette, that was a dry sump system. So this one should be dry sump as well, but probably in a pickup truck, the next generation LS is going to be a wet sump.
Yeah. Well, because in a pickup truck, you have more space, right? If you look at the engine bay of the truck,
yeah,
right? Especially with a high hood and a high nose and a big giant radiator that's in the front of a pickup truck, there's a lot more space in that engine bay. In the Corvette, especially mid-engine, right? There's not a lot of spaces at the premium. Plus,
yeah.
This engine is flying around a racetrack, right?
And you don't want to starve it of oil.
Right.
Because that's bad.
Exactly. So a dry sump system on a high-performance sports car makes a lot of sense, but probably not dollar for dollar on a truck, right?
Also here in Corvette form, the engine itself is making about 535 horsepower, 520 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah, those are the numbers officially from Chevrolet. So this is not a hoax.
Yeah.
This is... From the source.
It's a beast. And even if they tone that down a decent amount for trucks and SUVs, which I think would be reasonable, maybe emphasizing mid-range power rather than higher RPM.
And torque, low-end torque maybe.
And low-end torque.
Yes.
Even so, if it's making remotely similar horsepower and torque, it's going to be a beast. The kind of confusing thing, though, is that the new... generation 6.7 small block that they're debuting in this Corvette is called the LS6.
Which is a name that they've used before.
They've already had an LS6. Yeah. The C5 Z06 had an LS6.
So Cole, can you pull up a truck website again, maybe a different page? And because we wrote a story recently about some of the rumors, so unofficial rumor about the new 6th generation engine in the Silverado, which was just a couple of several days ago. This was a 2027 Silverado. I think it's one of these stories. And the number that was thrown around, this is unofficial, that the six, and it's slightly lower displacement.
Yeah.
So 6.6 liters V8, that's the current rumor for the truck, versus 6.7 for the Corvette. In the truck, the rumor is it's 475 horsepower.
All of which seems pretty reasonable to me. Again, they're not going to be the exact same engine in a Corvette and a pickup truck because obviously they have different needs, different use cases. So we know now a lot about the engine that is going to be coming in these trucks, but we don't know the specifics of what it'll be like exactly in those trucks. But I think 475 horsepower sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
and also actually sounds
a pretty beefy number.
Yeah, yes. It sounds like a great number.
Yeah, it does. And just one more comment about truck versus car, right? In a truck, and talking about the iGauntlet, the world's toughest towing test, is where you're basically pulling almost maximum load for the way we do it is about 8 miles, yeah. Right? So you, at least 8 minutes of almost full throttle, right? A sports car like a Corvette probably doesn't see that very much because if you were full throttle in the Corvette for 8 minutes, you would be going 200 and something miles per hour, right?
Yeah, so, no doubt.
So truck use case is way different because you could be full throttle for an extended amount of time, so the heat is building up, right? And that's why truck engines are usually not crazy high horsepower, but they usually emphasize torque a little bit more and cooling in a big way.
Now, here's another question, and yes. I have my own thoughts about this. In this new Corvette Grand Sport
yes.
that they're using to debut this next generation small block Chevy, they also have an option where you could pair it up to a hybrid system, and that brings the power for 535 horsepower to over 700. I want to say
they said
720.
721. That's the number yeah. I saw. Holy wow.
Here's my question.
What?
Do you think they'll offer something similar in trucks and SUVs?
So the Corvette, that hybrid system in the Corvette where they combine electric motors and that engine is kind of a different system in my view, right?
Yeah.
Because you have a front axle driven by electricity.
Yeah, so it makes it all-wheel drive.
Yeah, it makes it all-wheel drive. And then, of course, the internal combustion V8 is driving the rear axle. So in a truck, it's a whole different story, right? Because your engine is in the front. It's got a giant drive shaft that goes to the rear.
Yeah.
And that's primarily how it's powered. And then you have a four-wheel drive system that splits the power towards the front. And the way that truck, like the Tundra and the F-150 have done hybrids, is that they sandwich an electric motor
yeah.
between the engine and the transmission. So the rest of the drivetrain, the axles and the drive shafts, are mostly the same.
No doubt it would have to be a completely different engineered system.
Yeah. So I don't know if the electric motor from the Corvette can be reused
in some way.
It probably won't be able to be reused. Yeah.
But do you see some potential for them to still offer that?
You mean over 700 horsepower?
Some hybridized version of these powertrains.
I think they need it. Because when you look at the Raptor R,
yeah.
720 horsepower in the Raptor R. So it's funny that they debuted 721.
Yeah. If they were hitting a similar figure even with a hybrid system in a V8, that could be interesting.
We're kind of talking apples and oranges,
for sure.
You know, comparing a sports car to a high-performance truck. But I think if they nail the high-performance hybrid system in a Silverado or Sierra, that would be something special.
You know, we're pretty far from Christmas, but you know what's on my wish list?
What?
For them to finally, in this next generation of their 1500s, the trucks,
yes.
for GM to make a real Raptor competitor. I feel like the Raptor has been around for long enough and successful long enough
yes.
to show that there is a business case.
Well, Ram stepped in there and got the TRX
and it's
going.
Working for them too.
And got the RHO going as well. So
I'm not going to hold my breath, but it could be interesting.
Well, so the spy images we have of the next generation GM full-size light-duty trucks is that they're stepping up their tire size to 35s, which is already a welcome thing.
Yeah.
So, but we don't have any information that suggests that they're stepping up to 37s,
no.
Which is okay. I mean, you could do a lot with a 35-inch tall tire, especially if you have a wide body, you know, and a big suspension system. So I think GM is on the right track potentially.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and this new generation small block is going to be potentially a good platform to build some performance trucks around. So it definitely gets the gears turning in my head for all of the potential. What could they do in the future with this as a basis, as a foundation for building a bigger, badder truck?
Yes.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So let's kind of move on to the next topic. Before we talk about what is the perfect engine, because we kind of started that conversation already, I have some news.
Yeah.
So in November of last year, of 2025, I did a story about an F-150 because the information we received back then was that their turbocharged engines, the 3.5-liter EcoBoost in the F-150 and also the hybrid version, the PowerBoost, are getting a gasoline particulate filter because some of the emissions on those engines, especially when they're pulling heavy, heavy loads and they're wide open and they're working very hard, some of the emissions those engines were putting out were, you know, a little bit off the chart in some areas. So they decided to add this particulate filter, which is already kind of do we really need another filter?
Well, especially because initially when they dropped that news, they were showing on their website a slightly decreased power output.
Yes.
Which obviously made people upset, but then very quickly they went and updated those numbers.
Yeah, so Cole, if you show the original story, I just want to make sure that we have the latest news. So there's me with a sad face. So if you're watching us on TFL Talk YouTube channel, you could see that. And also if you're actually a member of our Patreon page, patreon.com/TFLcar, you could also interact with us during these shows because we're live
right
now.
Send us questions.
And I think we have at least one comment, but we'll get to it in a second. So if you scroll down, Cole, we have some numbers that they published on their site. I have some screenshots here. A little bit maybe lower in this story. Yeah. So their 3.5 EcoBoost was shown on Ford.com at 18% 18 horsepower less than before, and their hybrid was shown 10 horsepower less than before. So I reached out to them. Ford told me, they got back to me pretty quickly back then, and they said, no, by the way, the numbers are the same as before. It doesn't affect the horsepower or the torque. But I was like, but your website says something different. And then it stayed there for several months.
Yeah.
These numbers. But then just recently, just a few days ago, we got the latest information that indeed the horsepower and torque numbers on all of these engines for F-150 stay the same, but something interesting has happened with the RPM.
Yeah.
With the peak power and torque.
Which in a lot of cases is actually a good thing. So again, the horsepower and torque figures from 2025 to 2026 are the same, but peak power and peak torque is now coming in at slightly different RPM in different engines. So for a regular 3.5-liter EcoBoost, now peak torque is at 3,500 RPM, so it's 400 RPM higher. So you'll have to wring it out a little bit more to get that power.
Yeah, and it's still 500 pound-feet, which is a solid number.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a pretty solid number.
And in the 3.5 hybrid, peak power is 150 RPM higher than it was. But peak torque is actually 100 RPM lower. And then in the 2.7 EcoBoost, they've actually changed up things a little bit. Once again, output is the same, but both peak power and peak torque are 500 RPM sooner than they were. So if you're stepping into a 2026 2.7 EcoBoost, you won't have to wring it out quite as much to get that peak power and peak torque, which is kind of nice. So it's a little bit different depending on each engine.
But at least we're not losing power.
Yeah, the power figures are the same.
Yeah. So and I want to say recently I did a Denver 100 MPG loop in a 2.7 liter, not a 2026 model. It was a slightly prior version of that engine. And it was, first of all, it's a base engine for them now. So it's a little bit more affordable. So when you're searching for a F-150, you can get that. Then, so you don't have to step up and pay extra, for some silly feature to get a 3.5 or a hybrid system. So it's affordable. And now they're making it a little bit more peppy. It's already kind of a peppy engine.
For sure.
In the F-150. But now Ford has, for 2026, they kind of lowered those RPM for peak torque and peak horsepower. So it's still 325 horsepower and 400 pound-feet of torque. But it's available a little bit sooner, like you said. So I'm kind of excited about this. I think we should drive more of these trucks.
Yeah.
And then the hybrid, also pretty good news. Lower torque, 3,000 RPM. That's pretty nice. And then the EcoBoost, it looks like they had to raise some of those numbers. I mean, I'm not an engineer. But at least we're getting the same horsepower numbers.
Yeah, so the headline figures, the peak horsepower and peak torque, are the same, even though they're adding particulate filters on a few of these vehicles, which is interesting. When they initially lowered those numbers and had that on their website, I would assume that that wasn't just a typo. So maybe they went back in and retuned things a little bit. That level of detail, they probably won't tell us.
Yeah. No, I don't know those details.
But they are claiming the same figures. It would be interesting to take a 2025 and a 2026, say just 3.5-liter EcoBoost, just a standard model, and put both of them on a dyno.
Yeah, or just drag race them maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have like access drag racing. To a dyno.
We do.
We go to Jordan's.
Oh, hey, Jordan.
That'd be cool.
Are you listening? Yeah, it would be cool because... Yeah, sometimes dynos are a little bit challenging, but yeah. I mean, Jordan is the man.
There's always a margin of error.
Yeah, there's always a margin of error.
Depending on temperatures, maybe one truck has, 3,000 miles because it's a brand new 2026, and a 2025 has
more
20,000 miles. Yeah, right. There's always going to be some differences, but it would be interesting to see if there's a significant, a notable difference between the two.
Do we have some comments, Cole? Let's take a look a little bit here. Okay, so we have Joe R., we have Nathan, we have Jason.
Yeah, so we have two questions from Jason Lee. He's asking if we think Toyota would ever bring back the 5.7 V8 in a new Tundra. I don't think so.
I think the answer is no. We do have some news recently. We actually have a new story about this on our site, tfltruck.com, that they trademarked TRD Hammer name.
Yeah.
So that story is about a week old now. And everything I've seen, and these are rumors still, by the way, about it is that it'll be their twin turbo hybrid.
Yeah.
Maybe with slightly higher power numbers potentially.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not, because Toyota is very conservative, right?
Yeah.
As far when it comes to, you know, how they're, you know, choosing their powertrains.
They don't throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
No, usually no. Yeah. So unfortunately, the 5.7, I don't think is coming back.
And obviously, there is a new V8 coming in the GRGT, but that's a pretty exotic engine. That's not going to be repurposed into a pickup truck. If I had to guess, I'd bet a lot of money on that. So, no, I think they're going to stick with the
downsized. Sorry, Jason, about that.
And Jason also thinks that you should get a Gladiator.
To replace my Tundra.
Yeah, a Gladiator 41. I'm assuming 41, like the special edition that we have outside.
Yeah. So, Jason, I see where you're going.
Yeah. Andre's interested in Gladiators. That 41 is cool, but it's kind of pricey.
So there's a couple things stopping me, Jason, right now. So we have a 2026 Jeep Gladiator 41 edition, which is a very cool military theme
It's got
pickup truck.
Super cool. They're aluminum wheels. They kind of look like Steelies.
Yeah.
Very classic. It's got tan cloth seats.
Oh, man.
So parking that Gladiator or the Wrangler that we also have here, that's the same special edition, same wheels, same color scheme and graphics. Parking either of those next to the actual 1945 Willys MB Army Jeep that we have looks awesome.
And that video is coming up, right?
Yeah, we took the Wrangler and the Willys MB off-road, which is really cool. Seeing them side by side together on a trail.
Yes.
Awesome.
And I was just driving the Gladiator and also the Wrangler, so we have both at the same time, so thank you, Jeep, for that loan. That was incredible. It actually turns heads. You know, I'm always aware. When, for example, you know what was a little strange? When we had the Ford Ranger Raptor, it did not turn many heads.
Yeah,
It was subtle. It was flying under radar most of the time. This Jeep does not fly under radar. People are turning their heads. They're looking.
Which is
cool.
Which is good because you do have to pay quite the premium for that package. The package that is this special edition is $7,200. It gets you more than just appearance. The appearance stuff is neat. The wheels are awesome, paint color and the graphics, all that. It also gets you a rear locker. It gets you some pretty aggressive roundabout 33s, just under.
We have that video on TFL Off-Road, I believe, where we showed that Jeep. Just very recently.
So it's a neat truck, but that truck plus a few additional options is $57,500, which you can buy a lot of mid-sized truck for that amount.
So it does have a rear locking differential. Of course, it has solid axles front and rear. It does not have a disconnectable sway bar in the front.
Yeah, it doesn't have the front locker.
Right.
They're manual seats on both sides, which again, for
that
60,
doesn't bother me.
Yeah, well, but for 60 grand, no.
Yes, but the seats, case, and I think we went over this already, they're heated and they work instantaneously.
Yeah, I like cloth seats.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just a lot of money for what it is.
So, Jason, where I'm going with this is for 57 grand, let's say I got a discount. Okay, let's say it was several grand less.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Jeeps on lots that are selling well under sticker.
Yeah, so let's say I got a small discount when I was looking at this Jeep. I still have a couple of other issues. First of all, the engine and the torque from this engine is not super high. So this is a Pentastar V6 and 260 pound-feet of torque. And I tow my boat in the summer, right? So that's one of my use cases. So that's probably not going to be the best for towing my boat when my entire family is sitting in the truck.
Yeah.
Because also, it has 835 pounds of payload.
Yeah.
Which is not enough.
No. No, it's not a lot. So, you could take a truck full of people or a trailer, basically.
But not both.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless it's a real small trailer.
So the way I would do this, if I could do this, I would actually buy a base Willys Gladiator, maybe with a locking differential, right? And then go out somewhere and procure these wheels.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll be sold as a Mopar, a Jeep performance part accessory. So I'm going to go out, buy these wheels, get bigger tires.
Yeah. Even the Gladiator we had back in the day with the Steelies.
Oh, even that.
That looked great.
Oh, man. You know what we did with that original Gladiator in 2020? We bought 4 spare wheels.
Yeah.
Just straight up Steelies.
And put 35s on them, small lift, and the truck looked fantastic.
That was a budget way of doing it.
Yeah,
that
was, it was cool.
So Jason, basically, I like being on a budget. So I don't know if I can just go and switch my Tundra into this Gladiator.
Yeah, it's kind of it's definitely a different price range than I think where you're ideally shopping.
Now, Nathan Mura, I'm hoping I'm saying your last name correctly, says, how long do you think it will be before the midsize trucks get hands-free driving tech? Huh, that is interesting.
It's a good question.
It's a good question because right now, mostly full-size light-duty trucks have this tech.
Yep.
Right? If you look at GM, if you look at Ford, the new Ram trucks offer hands-free driving in a lot of their pickup trucks. Heavy duties don't.
No.
For example, the Super Duty is the only one which allows for lane centering,
yeah,
right, where it will keep its lane. And none of the midsize trucks really have this technology.
Which, in a way, maybe makes sense because midsize trucks, at least theoretically, are supposed to be a little bit more affordable, so arguably more basic. Mm-hmm. And adding some of that tech would certainly bring the prices up. People are already pretty price sensitive. So I think it seems to me like a lot of the manufacturers are working on right now trying to build more entry level trucks than necessarily complicating the trucks further and making them more expensive and more high end. So I don't know of anything on the horizon personally that's bringing that. So outside of obviously there are EV trucks that are a little bit on the smaller side that offer some more tech.
I'm guessing we'll have to wait until the next generation.
Could be.
Right. So recently, you know, GM midsize trucks were redesigned in 2023. The Tacoma was redesigned in 2024. The Ridgeline and the Jeep Gladiator, they haven't been redesigned.
Yeah, those two are ancient.
Frontier hasn't been redesigned in a humongous way in quite some time. Yeah. So I think we'll have to wait for the next turnover,
the next cycle,
which will take years. I think I don't think it's coming anytime soon.
But there are some trucks that are on their way. Eventually, a Dodge Dakota is going to take a couple of years, but who knows? Maybe they could be the first. Ram hasn't exactly been on the forefront of hands-free driving tech. I think GM still does it the best. Cruise is a really good system
with towing. Towing,
you can actually tow with that system active. So. Who knows? That's a good question.
So now Joe R. has a really interesting question, I think. He's asking, is there a reason Ford does not offer four-wheel drive auto in their Super Duty trucks like they do in their F-150 trucks? So currently the only heavy duty that's offering automatic four-wheel drive is General Motors. So you can get a Sierra or a Silverado heavy duty with that system. Interestingly enough, that all-wheel drive capability dates back decades, actually.
Yeah.
My neighbor had, he had like a 2005 heavy-duty.
Really? Yeah.
With an automatic four-wheel drive.
Yeah, and auto. And honestly, GM has been pretty good about it a lot in the past. This is a very GM-heavy podcast, but...
That's okay.
I love shopping around for GMT 800s.
Oh, yes.
You know, Tahoes and
Yukons. I love shopping around for 400s, too.
Yeah, 400s as well.
Yeah.
But it's funny. You could get a GMT 800 Tahoe or Yukon, Suburban, whatever, for not that much money. And majority of those that I see pop up have 4 auto.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Remember that GMT 400 Tahoe that we purchased and then my dad purchased it from our company? That has 4-wheel drive auto.
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to, Joe, sorry, this was a long answer,
yeah.
But it could really, so first of all, I've never point blank asked Ford this, but when I was talking to GM about this, about offering four-wheel drive auto, which is a useful feature for us in Colorado, because, you know, with wet roads or snowy roads and then dry roads immediately after that.
Yeah, we get a lot of cold days and then warm days, but there's shady spots that still have snow and then sunny spots that are dry, and so you're back and forth a lot.
That's when all-wheel drive is really key because it works instantaneously, you know, within a few milliseconds or half a second, it will kind of help you out. So, and the reason is really just durability and reliability. Because adding that feature with clutches or designing it in a compact way that they can still fit inside the same space and then handle all the torque. I mean, we're talking about sometimes 1,200 pound-feet of torque in some of these power strokes.
It would have to be a robust system.
So I think, and that's also another reason why the Raptor R really doesn't have a front locker anymore.
Yeah.
Or the torsen. Because when you're pumping so much torque, and also, yeah, anyway. Well, so
and ultimately,
those components cannot stand up.
So it's not, to your point that you're making now, is it's not the easiest thing to build, to engineer, and to refine to the point where it's durable enough to go however many miles you want your truck to go.
And especially in the heavy duty.
Especially right. in an HD, and especially with that kind of horsepower and torque. But the other thing is, there's not necessarily that many people that are aware of the usefulness of a four-auto system. I've even talked to other journalists, people in our field of work,
yes,
that don't really see the benefit of a full-time four-wheel drive system or a four-auto setting. But for us here in Colorado, where, like we said, we're back and forth between different traction conditions quite a bit, and you still, you want to be able to put it into a mode where you set it, you just get to run it, you're not worried about it crabbing in a tight parking lot.
Because you might say, why not just use four high?
Yeah.
Right? Well, so what happens is, well, first of all, like you said, in that condition where you have a sunny spot with perfectly dry highway and then a shady spot in the corner where there's ice, yes, of course you could put it in four-wheel drive high, but now potentially in a slow situation, you'll get crabbing.
Yep.
And then also you're losing efficiency.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're turning a lot of these components now all the time, and now you're losing efficiency basically while driving.
Yeah, so we see the benefit of a four-auto system, but not everyone does.
And it's possible Ford, you know, may come out with something like this in the future.
Yeah, definitely not.
Or maybe
impossible.
Even Ram. Maybe even Ram.
There just has to be enough people asking for it and wanting it for them to see the value in manufacturing it, engineering it.
Yeah, and final question before we move on to our kind of what is the perfect engine is Schluffy is asking, have you driven the Nokian Outpost AT, the all-terrain tire? And the answer is no.
Nope.
Have you?
Have
no.
Not.
No.
Can't
Sorry.
Say I have.
So recently I have driven, so this Jeep that we have right now has Firestone Destinations.
Yep.
MTs, MT2s.
I actually went on a trip for the launch of those tires.
Yeah, which is actually a pretty decent tire. It has a tiny bit of noise at highway fast speeds.
It's pretty aggressive.
But
so, yeah.
But nonetheless, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty capable.
White tire letters.
Yes.
Which is cool.
White letters. So that, KO3s, of course.
KO3s
I have on my
awesome.
Trucks. My truck, my Tundra. So I think also Open Country, I think I recently drove. But unfortunately, sorry, we haven't tried Nokian.
No. I've got a Mickey Thompson Baja Boss on my Land Rover, and those tires are pretty sweet. Alex has got a set two on his Wrangler.
Actually, I heard we recently had one of our viewers come out with their truck,
yeah,
and they were raving about Mickey Thompson.
Yeah.
Saying that it was
I like the Baja
Boss. Really excellent tires.
Yeah.
So that's as far as our tire knowledge recently goes.
Yeah, as far as... Well, not necessarily all newer stuff, but...
Yeah.
So we were talking at the beginning of this podcast about the diesels and why I think it would make sense for them to go bigger in displacement is primarily for emissions.
Yeah, and so that's a big deal. Even though, you know, the EPA regulations have been kind of relaxed recently and there's a lot of stories floating around the internet about, you know, these states are, you know, delete everything, delete all the emissions. But, I mean, development cycles on these engines go for years.
Yeah.
And also, I want to make a point where, so there's several forums. There's a GM-focused forum. There's a Ford, of course, Ram as well, where after we've done some of these stories talking about the 8.3-liter Duramax or an 8.0 Power Stroke or a 7.2 Cummins, there are some forums and published articles that basically say this is not coming. But whenever we publish our stories, we never take it lightly, right?
Yeah.
So there has to be something like a mounting amount of rumors where we have to, that pushes us to kind of do a story. Because if one guy says somewhere, hey, you know what? A 9-liter Duramax is coming soon. We're not going to run that story.
No. Not because one random person dreamed it up.
But. Yes. So, and we're seeing like Roman, right? Last year, he caught Duramax trucks testing in the high country. He did that same thing 4 days ago. So something is happening, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what pushes us to do some of these stories. And increasing the displacement of many of these turbo diesel engines should allow the manufacturer to lower the temperatures a little bit while maintaining power, while lowering the temperature helps with emissions.
Yeah, because there are limitations to how much power you can practically squeeze out of an engine of a given displacement. So as these power figures continue to increase, but they have to keep all of the emissions and everything in check. And look, people don't always get very passionate about emissions, which is fair enough. But also think about durability.
Yes.
If you have an 8.3-liter Duramax that's making 500 horsepower and in excess of 1,000 pound-feet of torque, maybe something along the lines of 1,100, 1,200.
Sure.
Instead of a 6.6 trying to do that, that 8.3 is, by comparison, going to be much less stressed. So as far as longevity is concerned, that would also be a good thing. And I don't think anybody would dislike having a bigger displacement engine under the hood, right?
No.
Think we're all cool with that?
Bigger is better, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, and the same story goes for the 8.0 rumor with the Powerstroke and the Ford. And 7.2 liter Cummins is not a rumor.
Yeah.
Because that engine exists. I actually saw it recently in Indianapolis.
Did you do a video with it?
Well, I actually did the walk around of the entire show, and I came into the Cummins booth. Their booth was right next door to Ram. You know, that's a good relationship.
Good synergy.
Good synergies.
Yeah.
But the 7.2, specifically the one I saw at the show, it's really a commercial grade, medium duty truck engine. Think about like kind of a medium duty trucks like the 6500s or the bigger Freightliners, that type of stuff. And the horsepower in that engine is way lower because those engines are really detuned and rated differently. Like the one I saw was about 300 horsepower for a 7.2. Still a lot of torque. I don't remember the exact torque number. I want to say like 800 or 900 pound-feet of torque. So these engines are usually made it to, you know, really heavy-duty transmissions, sometimes ZF, sometimes some others. So that engine exists.
Yeah, but...
But is it coming to the Ram 2500?
And
there is no information about that.
No, there's no information on that, but it very well could because 6.7 Cummins are also used in plenty of commercial applications.
Oh, yes.
A lot of big trucks, flatbed trucks that are using a detuned version of that engine. The other thing is when you and I went to Germany to see the ZF 8-speed transmission at ZF's facility, the one that is used in the Ram truck now, mm-hmm. when they were telling us about that transmission, they were saying this is a medium-duty transmission for commercial trucks and maybe some other stuff.
And then it transitioned into a Ram 2500, 3500.
Yeah, so just because this 7.2 Cummins is being used in that application doesn't mean it can't be used in a regular, everyday 2500, 3500 truck that you would go to a dealership and buy to pull your own trailer personally. And I also wouldn't hate it if this engine has spent some time in other trucks being worked on and refined before it makes its way into a truck that you or I might go out and buy.
There's also another Cummins engine that I saw right next to the 7.2 on display. It was a 6.7-liter octane. So a gasoline 6.7 Cummins. And that engine is already now also in Freightliner trucks. Quite interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if it's really applicable to, you know, heavy-duty pickup trucks, but there's nothing to say it couldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, so that's another possibility for some of these engines. And the 8-liter Ford and the 8.3-liter GM turbo diesel are still just rumors.
Yeah,
technically speaking,
they are definitely working on something, as they should
because
be.
Because we see them working.
Yeah, we see them testing powertrains, so they're doing something. GM especially is probably going to want to up their, not necessarily horsepower, but definitely up their torque figure at some point to get in excess of 1,000 pound-feet of torque. Not that I think it's strictly necessary, but as far as a headline
and marketing purposes.
And from a marketing perspective, you don't want to be the lowest.
Yeah. So, for example, I think there's a comment here on the live show from Don Megahan. Thank you, Don, for joining. Soon we'll see 18-wheeler engines in our heavy-duty pickup trucks. Well, we're getting to those horsepower numbers already, mm-hmm. right? So when you're talking about 500 horsepower or 600 horsepower in a pickup truck diesel, those are the power numbers, horsepower numbers we see in a semi-truck, right? Even though semis usually have 12-liter or 13-liter or 15-liter engines with more torque, the horsepower numbers we're already seeing, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool comment. So thank you. So I would say a perfect truck engine, pickup truck engine, for heavy duty would be a turbo diesel, with a caveat that you have to use it.
How do you mean?
You have to work it for a living. You know, it's like having a Triple Crown winner horse that you never raced.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I was shopping around when I'm thinking about replacing my Tundra, right?
Yeah.
For an older, maybe slightly used Cummins or maybe a Power Stroke, something like that. And then I'm keep thinking, you know what? It's going to sit around for like 2 or 3 days a week. Then I'm going to drive short distances in it without a trailer. I'm really not using a diesel the way it's meant to be used.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Which is fair. I'm not
talking about your diesel. Well, you have a second-gen Cummins,
yeah,
which is a little bit more simple. I wasn't looking at that generation. I was looking at newer generations of those engines.
Yeah.
And really, those engines with the DPF systems and DEF systems, they really need to be heated up and used really heavily.
Yeah, for sure. As far as keeping everything happy, especially in the emissions system, it makes a difference. I mean, we've seen our good buddy and old coworker Alex, his Cummins, he doesn't have a super heavy trailer. He's got a pretty small trailer that he could get away with pulling
with a Maverick,
just about anything.
Yeah,
because it's a motorcycle trailer. But he does have a Cummins, and doing some shorter trips has definitely given him some challenges as far as his def injector.
So I would say if I was going to buy a heavy-duty pickup truck, no matter what the brand is, for recreation, let's say I want to put a small camper in the back of it, maybe, you know, go camping, you know, maybe take a small boat out on the weekend, I think I would choose a gas engine for that. You can get it, you know, with an exhaust system, you can get some good sounds out of that engine. It won't have all those, you know, DF systems, you know, included with it. So I would go diesel if you're actually doing something with it, like maybe pulling trailers for work or that type of stuff. But if you're a recreational guy, I would say go gas.
Fair enough.
Just my take on it.
I would have a hard time not speccing it.
Diesel all the way?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, let us know what you think. What about half tons? So we've seen downsizing of engines, for sure, in the half-ton segment. But now there is a resurgence of V8s, right?
Yeah.
V8s are really now at the forefront.
And this side of it is tough because there's so many different options, and all of them make sense for different applications. You have more budget-minded V6s that still exist in a few of the trucks. You have the V8s, which are old-school, naturally aspirated, so a little bit simpler. You have some turbo straight sixes and turbo V6s that are kind of a good in between because they make good power and good torque, not as much power and torque as a supercharged V8s, and then even some hybrid systems. And soon enough, with the Ram, you have a range extended EV option. So Which one's the best? There's, and GM with the 3-liter Duramax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of different ways that you can power
and
a
I
truck
think,
like that. So
exactly.
It's not simple.
I'm going to go back to the F-150 hybrid because I miss mine when I sold it. And I think it was a combination of pretty good efficiency, really great power, and then also the export power that you could get from it. I think that was almost unbeatable. That was just really a great combination. And also for towing, if we can mention our iGauntlet just really briefly, when we've noticed it with the 3-liter Hurricane, right? We've noticed it with many smaller engines, including the EcoBoosts, that they can't grade shift effectively and hold your speed down the mountain.
Yeah, I mean they'll downshift and they'll bring the RPMs up, but they don't have enough displacement to effectively engine brake and slow you down.
Yeah.
Without you having to ride your actual friction brakes quite a bit.
Yeah, so I'm thinking in the future if there were more hybrid options, including V8 pairings, like you could pair a small V8 to a hybrid system, or you could pair maybe a turbo 6-cylinder to a hybrid system. And if you had a battery big enough, I'm not talking about like 2 kilowatt hours. I'm talking something slightly bigger, maybe 3 or 4 kilowatt hours. Then you could use the electric motor to slow you down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that could help in a big way in many different ways.
The only thing...
Yes?
Is that they are relatively complicated and expensive powertrains.
Yes.
And not very interesting to drive.
Driving, right.
Driving a lot of the hybrid trucks out there is like having a conversation with me. It's...
Wait a minute.
It's just not that much fun.
No. Well, this is one of the most popular truck podcasts in the country.
Oh, not because of me.
No.
For that reason, I would pick either something like that 3-liter Duramax, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Great engine.
Which is still around, by the way, and there's no rumor about it going away.
Or a Raptor R or a TRX.
Ooh,
supercharged
wow.
V8. Those would be my two picks.
Your perfect engines are supercharged V8s. Okay.
Yeah, call me crazy. That's a pretty lukewarm take.
No.
I like supercharged V8s with 700 horsepower. How weird.
That is a hot take, I guess.
I don't know if it is, honestly.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the hybrid because, yes, they may not have the auditory character, you know, the sound or maybe some vibrations.
Well, and even beyond that, there's just a lot going on. The power, you know, the combustion engines kicking on and kicking off and making weird
little
high-pitched noises.
Maybe jerks or something.
Yeah, sometimes they're not exactly, the engagement isn't always the smoothest, so not my favorite. But it's very practical reasons why you pick them.
Okay, let's go smaller. Let's go midsize or compact pickup. What's turbo diesel all the way? No.
Used to be a good option.
Not anymore. So once again, same story. There's a lot of downsizing of those engines. We went from naturally aspirated V6s to turbo 4s.
There once was a time when you could get a V8 in a midsize truck.
Will there ever be a time for that again?
Maybe.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, that's our best answer. Maybe the Gladiator. We don't know, but it would be a lot cooler if they did. But at the moment, if you ask me, hands down, the most impressive engine in a midsize truck is the 3-liter EcoBoost in a Ranger Raptor. It blows every other in terms of horsepower, torque, acceleration. It blows every other powertrain in a
midsize.
But
do you have fun driving it?
Yeah, I do.
See?
I do. Yeah.
So it's possible to have fun with some smaller turbos.
Well, for sure. I don't just dislike turbos. The hybrid thing, maybe not, you know, not my all-around favorite.
Not your fave.
That Ranger Raptor is a beast, though.
Well, now the 2.7 Ranger could have more, you know, same torque, but at a lower RPM. So that could be also very fun.
Yeah, true. And the 2.7 in the Ranger is a great engine as well.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, I'm thinking in the future. So we just did an iGauntlet with the GMC Canyon turbo, right?
Yeah.
The 2.7 liter four. And it did 8 brake applications on the way down the mountain, which is not the best performance.
No, it's not. It's not dangerously bad. We weren't smoking the brakes or anything. You made this point yesterday, which is a good point, that beyond maybe 10 brake applications, we start to get a little concerned because that's when stuff gets hot. So we were still within a range that I think is acceptable. But yeah, bigger displacement engines, they definitely, like we said, they do a better job downshifting, slowing you down.
Electric motors also.
They do. That's true.
Plus, you're gaining energy on the way down the mountain. But gaining energy.
Would you honestly pick a hybrid Tacoma, that powertrain, just powertrains alone, rest of the truck we'll leave out of it. But what do you like better between a Ranger Raptor, that twin-turbo V6, and the hybrid four-cylinder setup in the Tacoma?
The Raptor twin-turbo V6 all day long.
It's not even close.
No. Even though, do they have similar torque? They might have similar torque numbers at some RPM ranges, but I would go, that V6 from Ford is so much more fun.
Oh, it's a beast.
It's just a beast.
More power, sounds better.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we disagree on everything.
Here's maybe one thing that... Well, let's see. Let's see if we agree on this.
We agreed on the Ranger Raptor.
We do agree on the Ranger Raptor. In mid-sized trucks, naturally aspirated V6, to me, it's out. It's too dated.
It's been done. Let's remove it.
They don't make enough low-end torque.
No. And they scream all day.
And for that reason, I'm out. Because if I'm buying a truck or an SUV, I want low-end torque. I don't want to be sitting behind the steering wheel, pulling a trailer at 6,000 RPM, wondering, am I driving a 350Z right now?
No, you're not supposed to. No.
Why is this?
You're not.
Do I have a screaming V6 in a truck?
So
I want low-end grunt.
So normally aspirated V6s, they're basically out of half-tons already. They're gone. And then they should leave the midsize segment because Nissan currently uses one, Jeep is using one, Honda is using one.
And they should.
They need to remove those engines.
They should move them along.
From trucks.
Put them out to pasture.
They can leave them in their SUVs.
Sure, totally.
That's totally fine. That's totally great. Just remove them out of trucks.
And, you know, maybe you live in a flatter place closer to sea level and your experience is different. But for us here in the mountains, naturally aspirated V6s just have to work so hard and rev so high.
And that makes them inefficient also.
Yeah.
You know, they're not gaining any efficiency by doing this.
But they just, at this point, it feels dated.
So I'm going with turbo diesel for heavy duty. Perfect.
Yes.
But with the caveat that you have to actually use it. And I'm not talking about putting them on 20 folds.
20 folds.
And you know, and with underglow. I'm not
talking about... You don't want to donk your truck?
No, I'm not talking about underglow on your trucks. I'm talking about actually using your truck for heavy duty. And I think I would go hybrid for everything else. That's where I am. Because it seems like a combination. Because you can make a hybrid more affordable by not having a humongous battery and humongous electric motor.
Are you saying you would pick, so for mid-size trucks specifically, would you pick hybrid in theory?
In theory.
Okay. But
not with in a Toyota.
Because I'm thinking actual existing powertrains.
Oh.
What's ideal?
Okay. No, I'm talking about theory.
Yeah, fair enough.
So if like GM came out with a hybrid or if Ford did a mid-size hybrid, that's where I'll be. Because Toyota, as good as they're and smooth... By the way, Toyota hybrid is very smooth.
Yeah, no they've been hiccups, doing hybrids for a long
no
time.
No hiccups, no imperfections with smoothness and power delivery, but it's just not efficient enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's where I am with Toyota truck hybrids. But if somebody else did a hybrid, that's where I was going.
Plug-in hybrid? That's,
no.
Not
no,
a plug-in
just,
hybrid.
Just not super expensive, just small, regular hybrid that helps me to tow on the way down the mountain and on the way up the mountain. That's it.
I think my ideal would be to have a commuter car that could maybe do the hybrid fuel efficient thing and then leave the truck to be more trucky.
With eight cylinders, maybe?
Yeah, with either, yeah, twin turbo V6 and a midsize, I think, is a kick-ass combo. Or, again, if we bring back a V8 and a midsize truck, I'd be pretty excited about that, too.
Oof.
And then, yeah, in a full-size truck, either big V8 or small diesel. Small diesel is pretty rad.
Well, let us know. I don't know if we... I think we disagreed on a lot of things
and
here.
And we accomplished nothing.
Almost nothing.
I did so, a...
But
yeah,
we agreed on something today. We agreed on the twin turbo Ranger. We agreed on that, and we also agreed that the Corvette is a cool car. I think.
So we agreed on two of the easiest things there are to agree on.
Yes. Well, let us know if you disagree or agree. And I think a lot of what manufacturers should be thinking about is not just gigantic horsepower numbers, but also reliability.
Yeah,
you know, that's a big thing that I think everybody should be thinking about, especially for trucks that work for a living. So I'm going to sign off now.
See you next time.
All right, thanks.